In the studio with me now, I've got author Ron Blair, who has just completed Wild Wolf, The Great Civil War Rivalry. Ron, welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging out here with us. I appreciate it. First of all, there's a disclosure here that this is your great uncle or something, right?
Yes. His sister, Emily Wolford, married my great great grandfather, John Blair. There's a story about her that's really not in the book. It's quite interesting, but history professors, since it was passed word of mouth, decided should not include that story. But I'm going to tell it anyway if I have time.
Yeah. No, you can do that. Get close to that mic so we can hear you. Because this became an obsession for you.
Oh, yeah. 16 years of research and 8 rewrites. It's a virtual...
500 pages now is where
about 500 pages, 120 illustrations, and that's at a 10 font, so it could be at around 700 pages. It is a virtual tour guide of the complete history of engagements in Kentucky and in the mountains of Tennessee. Wolford was the commander of the 1st Kentucky Cavalry, the oldest Union cavalry in the Civil War in Kentucky, and fought through the entire Civil War. The reason why there were well-known cavalry units in Kentucky at the time was because of the bluegrass. I think planters accidentally found out that horses were more hardy in the bluegrass, and it was because of the minerals in the soil. And so you had John Hunt Morgan, his rival.
Right.
They were chasing each other throughout the war. Morgan knew the importance of having fast horses behind the large Union armies. He was trying to break down the railroads, tear up the communications, and Wolford's mission was to catch him. And he finally did, but it took 4 major raids. In each major raid, Morgan would collect the treasured stallions of the bluegrass.
So now, who was Wolford responsible for? Who was his commanding officer?
He had several commanding officers. In the beginning of the war, it was General Bull Nelson at Camp Dick Robinson. He was actually killed by a Union soldier named Jefferson Davis, ironically. Burnside, he fought for the Army of the Ohio.
Wait a minute, the Union soldier's name was Jefferson Davis.
Correct.
That's a tough gig.
Yes, indeed.
I'm pretty sure he used initials or something.
But Camp Dick Robinson, where this launching is going to be next weekend, was a major hub for recruiting soldiers, and it was a supply depot. And they went from there with Burnside's army into East Tennessee. Lincoln had wanted them to rescue some of the loyal Union citizens in the mountains of East Tennessee since 1861. Mm-hmm. But there simply weren't any railroads. So Wolford was, this time of year in 1863,
That's a dangerous mission, if you think. I mean, because how's he going to transport them out with the wagons?
Yeah.
So he's got to go into hostile territory?
Yes. Oh, they had to bring...
And then try to realize who the loyalists are.
Yes.
I mean, that's it's akin to what special forces do today when they go to Kandahar or someplace.
Yeah. It was a rough time. You talk about Thanksgiving coming up. If you can imagine, I've seen pictures. There's pictures of Knoxville and the Battle of Knoxville in this book. It was just abandoned, desolated. There was a siege. There were no trees standing. It was just banged up through battle. Wolford's mission was to use his fast cavalry to hold off Joseph Wheeler so that they could fortify Fort Sanders. It's an incredible story.
How many troops does he have assigned to him in a cavalry?
Well, he had up to a division. That's why a lot of people called him a general. Yeah. He was a colonel. His regiment, the 1st Kentucky Cavalry, was around 1,200, and they were known as it was a newspaper article that called them the finest mounted men in the world. But during that Knoxville siege, Longstreet had surrounded them. They were hungry. They were getting shot at. Finally, Colonel General Sanders was shot and killed. He was so wounded, he was wounded seven times and fought in over 300 battles and skirmishes. And through the starvation and the cold, he said what saved him, he saw himself going away because of the cold. He said a fellow soldier laid on top of him and brought him back to life.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if I'd tell that story.
Well,
but I guess he did.
He was a man sort of man.
Yeah.
I mean,
sounds like
that's the way he's been described.
Mm-hmm. So give me sort of the atmosphere when the war breaks out of what it would be like in Kentucky, where you had this supposedly neutral state.
Yeah.
And then skirmishes you hear breaking out, and I guess troops are being transported left and right. I mean, what would it be like for a citizen, living in Lexington at that time?
Yeah, I have a lot of diarists that have quoted what it was like to just be a civilian.
Yeah.
And Ellen McGauley Wallace, she was actually out of Hopkinsville, but she had an incredible diary. She said it was like a different country. She said it was like Mexico. People were just getting killed all the time. There were guerrillas running loose. You had major armies coming in. I have one chapter in the book called Between Two Thieves. You have a Union army coming in from the north, and they're taking all your horses.
Yeah.
So you go get some more. Then you got a Confederate army coming in. Kentucky was put in the middle. And as far as brother fighting brother, it was total chaos.
Right.
There's one scene at the Battle of Lebanon, Tennessee, where Wolford's men under General Dumont, Ebenezer Dumont, had raided the rebel raider and surprised him early in the morning. And this was behind the large armies where he was trying to, Morgan was trying to tear up the telegraph lines and the railroad tracks. And there were two brothers, each behind a tree, shooting at each other, cussing at each other. And the brother that fought for Wolford's troops said, "Well, I'm damn glad I didn't kill him, but he deserved it."
Talking about the book, which is soon to be released, Wild Wolf, The Great Civil War Rivalry, written by Ron Blair, who is, and this is an interesting term, I've never heard it used before, a collateral descendant of Colonel Frank Wolford, which sounds like somebody didn't use birth control when it's framed like that. Ron, I don't know what that means, although he's your great-uncle, essentially.
Yeah, I was related to his sister.
I gotcha.
So, okay. Not a direct descendant, which...
That's what that means.
Yeah.
Okay. He did something you thought was very important that could have been a turning point.
Yes, after he captured John Hunt Morgan, and John Hunt Morgan gave him his horse, Glencoe. And that was at the end of the Great Chase and his Silver Spurs. He was recognized at Melodian Hall for his effort in capturing John Hunt Morgan. Now, Melodian Hall is right downtown Lexington, not far from here, right across from the courthouse. It is still there. And so he made a presentation. He accepted a jewel sword from the people of Lexington. The governor was there.
Mm-hmm.
He gave a speech. Which they thought it was going to be a patriotic speech, but he floored everyone when he launched a diatribe against the Lincoln administration for...
Wow.
He was a Democrat, mm-hmm. and Democrats are very opposed to Republicans, just like they are today.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... he had a couple problems. He believed that enlisting blacks was wrong. Blacks were their property by the Constitution at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln knew this, that it was a delicate issue. And the way Lincoln handled his dissent, and it wasn't only that, it was also about civil liberties. Civil liberty. Kentuckians at the time, their civil liberties were taken away from them more than any time in the United States history.
Mm-hmm.
And so he protested about that as well. And what happened, Governor Bramlett was there, and he listened to this, and he had a thundering applause in Millennium Hall because everybody was behind this. They were afraid, you're going to take 4 million slaves, and they're going to be running through our land and burning barns, and you're going to arm them after you take our property? I mean, that was their thought at the time, but everyone was afraid to say anything about it. He was shot, wounded 7 times. He wasn't afraid of anything. He had been through everything.
Right.
So he launched a huge protest, and Governor Bramlett issued a proclamation as a result, and it was a firebrand. It was a war against the federal government. And he was convinced not to do that in an all-night meeting. But if he had issued that proclamation that was already written, this could have changed the entire landscape of our country. Peace Democrats in the North could have voted for peace and compromise. And you know, even Lincoln, after he won the election of 1864, was still trying to compromise with the South afterwards. So that was an issue that would have delayed Sherman's march. That's conjecture, of course. Mm-hmm. But it most definitely would have delayed Sherman's march to Atlanta. I don't think really the South had a chance, but if it was taken to a vote and they voted to compromise, we could have had 2 different countries.
Yeah. Well, again, and it's interesting that all of that, again, the epicenter of that was right here in Kentucky.
Yes. Lincoln said to lose Kentucky is near the same game as to lose the whole game.
Yeah.
He said, I'd rather have God on my side, but I must have Kentucky.
Right.
He knew how important, because if you lose Kentucky, you lose all the border states. And as he said, perhaps the capital, Washington.
So the book, a 16-year effort on your part, is going to be officially published and released coming up here pretty soon.
Yes. Thank you. Saturday at Camp Nelson, which is an appropriate place.
Right.
It's going to be at 2 o'clock. Sponsor is TaylorMade Farm, and I'm really happy to have them, Duncan Taylor and the Taylor Boys. It's perfect because we wrote about Calvary, and it was once home of American Pharoah, probably the greatest horse of all time.
Right.
And they had an incredible Breeders' Cup. I think they had 4 of their horses won this year.
Yeah.
So I'm really proud to have them as a sponsor.
So this is open to the public? Folks
yes.
can go? And
yeah.
Okay. How do you get tickets? You show up? What is that? How's
you
that
just,
work?
It's free to the public. The proceeds go to Camp Nelson. Camp Nelson, they don't get a whole lot of government money. And so it's an incredible location. It's unbelievable what they offer and their trails. I think they have like 5 miles of trails. And I'd also like to use this opportunity. TaylorMade Farms bringing in some excitement. They're going to be offering tours, and a lot of the horse farms in and around Lexington are going to be doing this. And from what I understand, it's going to be kind of like a bourbon trail, only it's going to be a horse trail.
That'll be good. Well, again, the book is called Wild Wolf: The Great Civil War Rivalry. Be looking for it soon. Is there a website folks can go to, or where do you want to get the book?
Yeah, if you can't make it to the event, you can go to acclaimpress.com and order the book.
All right.
Enjoy.
Good luck with it.